Former NHLer, now analyst for the Kings, Jim Fox joins us. Jim, welcome back to the show. I guess, update us quickly, Jonathan Quick. I'm assuming it's nothing serious. What happened at practice today?
Your guess is as good as mine. I didn't see it. So I noticed that once practice was over, that Jonathan did stay on for some extra shots. So if it did happen, it happened well after the regular practice portion. As you know, a lot of starters after practice, they just leave the ice. Jonathan stayed on to take some extras, as far as I could tell. But after that, and I did see a little video, and I do read the reports, and I am here at Staples Center still, but nothing that I could report on other than what you've been reading and seeing so far, because I did not see it.
You look at Jonathan Quick's, you know, if you looked at just the save percentage, people would say, oh, man, they're struggling. There was a lot of goals in that series. It was highly entertaining. That's one of the more fun series I've seen in a long, long time. But Quick obviously has won a Stanley Cup, and he seems to have that ability to not allow the goal when it's crucial. You're down 2-0 in Game 7. There's no way they're getting the third goal. Are the numbers maybe not telling the entire part of what Quick has brung to the Kings this postseason?
Well, Jonathan talks about it when he has great numbers, and he says all he looks is at the wins. So I think he looks at the same thing right going on right now. I will bring you back to Game 2 of the series against the Blackhawks when it was 2-0, and Brent Seabrook's on a 2-on-1, has a pass across, you know, cross crease, and Quick makes a huge save right there. It's one of those, who knows what would have happened if it became 3-0 in Game number 2. The Kings went on to win that game. And we saw it certainly in Game 7, too, where the big saves, and I think Jonathan's numbers are a little askew because of two things. Let's go three things. How about that? First thing is, first team they played, San Jose Sharks. Precision shooters, skilled guys, picking corners. Second series, Anaheim, the highest scoring team in the Western Conference. Third series, Chicago Blackhawks, defending Stanley Cup champions. Kane, Taves, Sharp, Hossa, those types of guys. So maybe that's a reason why the goals have been going a little bit.
Yeah, you know, the Kings definitely haven't had an easy path to the Stanley Cup final this season. They rolled to the Stanley Cup final in 2012, were dominating everybody. And this one, you know what, there's so many good teams in the West this year. You know, the reigning champs, they got by in overtime. It's just a heck of a series, Jim. I don't see the Rangers putting up much of a fight. As I know it's a Stanley Cup final and they'll be competitive, but I just don't see them matching up to the three teams that the Kings have already beaten. How do you see this matchup? What will be the challenges of the Rangers?
Well, if I can go at it this way, first of all, compared to 2012, the quality of team, just be based on the stage at which the team was in at the time the Kings played them, much more difficult path to the finals this year. I mean, back in 2012, you know, they met up against Phoenix, for instance, in the Western Conference Final, and Phoenix had more points than them during the regular season, but weren't considered, a defending champion or a true contender. They were trying to get there, but not at that stage. They played St. Louis earlier on in those playoffs, and St. Louis was a younger team. So the teams the Kings have gone through this year, it has been an incredible path. You talk about murderer's row. When you go in San Jose, who I thought had the best team on paper in certainly the Western Conference, then you have Anaheim with all their firepower. Then you have Chicago, defending champion, right at the top of the league again. So I just wanted to start it with that one. I think it's incredible what has happened this year to get to this point. The New York Rangers are the most efficient, structured team the Kings will play in this playoffs. And that's taking nothing away from the three teams in the West. But I'm talking about speed, getting you from point A to point B with a purpose and within the structure of the team. And then just an underlying thing, and I'll make my case for the New York Rangers. Alain Vigneault coached many, many, many years against the Los Angeles Kings. So if there is something to pre-scouting, yeah, you get it from your scouts, you get it from your players, you go to players who played on the Kings, where they do, where they have. Vigneault has first-hand knowledge of everything that's gone here in Los Angeles. So that gives them kind of an upper hand in that, aspect of the matchup where you're trying to get that intelligence intel from the other team. Well, Alain Vigneault has it. The speed, I think it's a positive for the Kings. They just came off a series against the Hawks because they have similar speed to the Rangers. But again, as far as the structure goes, I think the Rangers as efficient as any team the Kings have played.
Analyst for the LA Kings, Jim Fox, joins us. Henrik Lundqvist, of course, he is the key to the Rangers. You look at the Rangers' defense, Girardi, Staal, McDonough, and you look at the team they just beat in Chicago, Jim. What are the big differences you see on New York's blue line, 1-6, compared to Chicago's?
I think that on New York's blue line, they don't take as many chances offensively. I think that McDonough certainly has proven that he can play an outstanding Norris Trophy quality type of game. But I look at their pair as more just kind of a set. I'm not going to say conservative, but they just seem to be more systematic in their approach and the way they line things up back on the blue line. I think with Chicago, and it got them into trouble a little bit, where they were very aggressive, both with and without the puck. Without the puck, they were trying to take away time and space so much that they kind of flooded their zone and got themselves in trouble a couple of times. And then up the ice, you know, you're trying to force things. It killed them in game two, and the Kings stormed with six straight goals. So I see New York's defense more defensive-minded, more just content to play your own role and not look to do anything out of, you know, ordinary. Just kind of go at it that way. And again, the way the pairs are set up for the Rangers, it's just kind of a nice fit for each guy. It's a comfort, I guess, more than anything. And I think that would be a strength of the Rangers.
Jim, looking at the LA Kings, you know, their top line, Kopitar and Gabrick, they've been great. The 70s line with Jeff Carter and the two young kids has been phenomenal. I know Mike Richards moonlighted in there in Game 7. You know, their defense, their third pairing, Matt Green might have had his best game of the playoffs in Game 7, not just offensively, just overall. Drew Doughty, what's the matchup? Who do you see him on? You know, who is Daryl Sutter going to want Drew Doughty against the most on the Rangers' attack?
Yeah, that's a good question. Again, you know, you got a Rick Nash who has been quiet offensively, but he's still that type of guy that you have to look at. It's a very interesting thing. I think the matchups the Kings will be looking for are more at the center position, where I think the Kings feel they have an advantage because of experience and size. I see some dancers over there with the Rangers. Guys, you know, I'm kind of like the smart, crafty type centerman. I think the Rangers have that. With the Kings, it's more straightforward, more at you, more, you know, try to power with some skill. But at the same time, a big contrast right there. Drew Doughty, I've seen it before with Daryl Sutter. I don't think Daryl goes into a game. Daryl goes into a game, let's be honest. He thinks it out 1,000 times over. And he has 1,000 different variables that's going through his mind. I think he certainly early on will feel it out, first of all, to see what's going on and see what the matchups are up front. But Doughty will be placed along with Jake Muzzin, his partner, against whoever is most effective for the Rangers. And that's just going to be the bottom line. So is there a chance to have a feeling out process in game one? If there is, I think the Kings will look at it that way.
Do you believe the Rangers are that much faster than the Hawks or the Ducks or the Sharks?
I think they are faster. I'm not sure about much. Again, yes, compared to the Sharks. Yes, compared to the Ducks. Hawks, maybe not so, but I will tell you this. Again, it's lack of hesitation with New York, and that's back to the system to me, and Alain Vigneault and what he's done. You know, John Tortorella has a Stanley Cup, so I can't, you know, he can slap me upside the head if he wants. But when he was the coach of the Rangers, it seemed like, you know, the players he had was, I want him to do different. He wanted to change things. I think Vigneault's come in and looked at his personnel and said, okay, this is the guy's strength. This is how we're going to attack things. And I think that has created a lack of hesitation. So when you add skating speed to playing fast because you're not hesitating, I think you get what the New York Rangers have right now. So having said that, I think they are the fastest team straight ahead, point A to point B. No frills. Get there fast and make it happen.
Jim, the last time the Kings and the Rangers met in the playoffs was in the early 80s, and you were a member of that LA King team. There was a little bit of a bench brawl in that game. Do you recall?
Yes, I do recall. A big brawl broke out, I believe. No, geez, I think it was game two. I'm not sure. But it was a big thing going on. And Ed Hospiter ended up going against Marcel Dion, which, as I looked, I can't talk about these things because I was never a tough guy. I never pretended to be a tough guy. You try to lock onto one guy in those bench clears and you hold on, and that's what happened. But unfortunately, it ended up with Hospiter and Dion, and that just should not have happened. And again, I'm not pointing any fingers at anyone. That's just the way it did happen. But, you know, we have to protect our top guy, and I think that's when it escalated.
Okay.
I'm pretty good friends with Eddie. Played with him in the junior.
Yeah.
So I know what's going on there, and he was doing his job. And then we had to jump in to do ours because you know, you just don't want that mismatch. But, back then, it was my first year. I just finished my first year in the league. And this is a little, if I can give more compliments to this current Kings team, I wish, regrets I don't have, but I wish I would have had a chance to play with a team like this current Kings team, because You know, I was a skilled guy, and you know, looking for. But they could have taught me so much about how a team works together and how it doesn't matter who gets the credit. How, you know, don't point fingers. All those types of things you hear that fits this team here, and they have a trust in each other that I have not seen. I have not seen the trust in each other that this team has, and it's very impressive. And that's something that gets them to where they are. It really is. And like I said, as a player, I just wish that I would have had a chance to experience that.
And lastly, Marian Gaborik has found a home in L.A., obviously playing with Kopitar helps. But, you know, Gaborik, when he's healthy, one of the greatest skaters in the game, Jim. How is he able to come into L.A. and fit in so easily and quickly?
Well, Gaborik was a difficult decision. And I know I had an extended conversation with Kings general manager Dean Lombardi about it. They did a lot of thought process. And the bottom line for Dean was this. You know, Marian came into the league with Chuck Lemire as his head coach. And you know if that's the case, you're going to have a defensive foundation. You put on top of that the skill. Then Dean looks at, okay, what do the Kings need? What is the ingredient they need? Back in 2012, he felt it was more size. The Kings were already a big team, but he felt with more size, King and Nolan joining the team, that they could overwhelm other teams with size. This year, it was just a little bit more of that attack speed. They get Pearson into the lineup. They get Gaborik in the lineup. It's a different team this year. It's always different, but there is a contrast this year. And, you know, he has been the piece. Let's face it. The power play went on fire at the end of the regular season, carried on into the playoffs. And I think you have to make the argument that Gaborik is that piece.
Jim, as always, excellent to catch up with you. Enjoy the Stanley Cup Finals. It's great. And, you know, the Kings looking for their second in 3 years. The Rangers looking for their first in 20. Should be a heck of a final.
My pleasure. Anytime. Thank you.